today we are starting a new series which is called Rediscovering Lent, which will cover the next 6 weeks, taking us up to Easter Sunday. One of those is a river together. And Lent, as you will probably know, is a period of time that began on Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, and lasts 40 days up until Easter Sunday. But what on earth is it really about? And my aim this morning is to introduce this new series to you and set the scene for you and whet your appetite for what's to come in the weeks ahead. But it's also to raise hope in you that you can encounter God for yourself and us corporately, and to inspire you to seek him afresh in this time. And I really want to encourage us as a congregation to see the next 6 weeks as a key time to take stock, to refocus, to adjust some things, and to go with some new things of God. What we're going to do is this morning we're going to look at week one, which I've called transformation. And I want you to see this next 6 weeks as a time when you can see transformation in yourself. And I'm going to explain a bit more about that as we go on. Now, if I say Lent to you, I wonder what comes to your mind immediately. With me, it's giving up chocolate, which I'm sure isn't a very, Christian thing about it, but giving up chocolate is what I think about when people say Lent to me. And let me just give you a brief history. Lent actually isn't biblical. It isn't anything that Jesus observed. It was established by Rome when Christianity was adopted as the official religion, and it's grown by church tradition into this time of 40 days of fasting leading up to Easter. Okay? Now, I read in the Catholic Encyclopedia, don't I have some good bedtime reading? It says this: the real aim of Lent is, above all else, to prepare men for the celebration of the death and resurrection of Christ. So that's Easter. The better the preparation, the more effective the celebration will be. One can effectively relive the mystery only with purified mind and heart. The purpose of Lent, gets good here, is to provide that purification by weaning men from sin and selfishness through self-denial and prayer. Now, you all want to rediscover that, don't you, over the next 6 weeks? Well, there's a lot of nodding. What we know here is, don't we, in all of us there are areas of our lives that aren't quite as they could be and need a bit of attention. But we also know the Bible teaches that Jesus has washed us clean and pure by his blood as he died on the cross for us, and that we are pure and spotless before him already. And we also know we can be as close to God at any point in time as we want to be. He is always accessible to us. We also know that fasting has its place in Christian discipline. I'm not going to go into all of that this morning, but it's something that can draw us closer to God. And we also know that Easter is a really critical festival for us as Christians, isn't it? It's all about our new life. It's why we're here and who we are. So how do you put all that together? So I went on a bit of a mission to ask, why do we bother with Lent? Is there really any value in this church festival for us? And if this is an important season of spiritual preparation, how can we here in River access that in a way that's true to who we are? Now, what I read as I began pondering this was an article in Christianity. No, I'm giving up chocolate again. Why are we going backwards here? There! Yes! I read this. A church that takes Lent seriously takes discipleship seriously. A church that takes Lent seriously takes discipleship seriously. And that quote went on to say, when we are serious about discipleship, we can anticipate the transforming activity of God in our lives and our communities. And isn't that what we want here in River? We want the transforming activity of God in our own lives and in our communities around us. And I had already at the beginning of the year sensed God talking to me about discipleship and to take it seriously this year as a congregation so that we can see that transforming work of God in our lives and in our community. It is so easy to just kind of plateau and jog along, isn't it? But God has so much more for every single one of us than that. And discipleship isn't just about when we first become Christians and we need to be discipled, you know, and learn about the stuff that we all know because we've been all here for ages. Jesus' disciples walked with him. They lived with him. They talked with him. They shared their lives together. They grew to understand him more. He taught them. He modeled life to them. And he demonstrated how to live life as his followers. And I believe that we all need that all the time. And also we need to be people who disciple one another so that we become mature followers of Jesus. And then I read another thing from Cindy Jacobs that said, your destiny is connected to your being disciplined and discipled. No shortcuts. I thought, she's an important lady. Your destiny is connected to your being discipled. No shortcuts. And we talk a lot about destiny, don't we? We talk a lot about our destiny in God, about drawing the gold out of one another, about fulfilling all that God has called us to be. But we can't, that just doesn't happen when we sit passively. It's connected to us growing, transforming, being discipled and discipling one another. So I really began to feel the Holy Spirit saying to me, don't ignore Lent this year. It's really important. So I began looking at what Lent was. Now, I've already said to you that that Lent isn't in the Bible, but actually Lent comes from an old English word that means to lengthen. Probably with reference to the lengthening spring days, okay? But I love that image on that slide. Because lengthening, it's implying an unfolding, an unfurling of growth that's already there, ready. And are we going to be people in this Lent season who allow God to do that in us? It's all there within us. He just wants to unfold it and unfurl it in this time of lengthening. And so I went to my Bible and I thought, well, okay, where does lengthen appear in the Bible? Now, the word length appears quite a lot of times, you know, length of days, how long people lived. But the word lengthen is only there in two places. And it's really interesting in the light of what we're saying. The first one is here. 1 Kings 3:14. And it says this, so if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. We have there again, don't we, the importance of discipleship, learning more and more how to walk in the ways of the Lord. Not about rules, but about understanding the ways of the Lord, his heart, his love. David, mentioned there, as your father David walked, was the man after God's own heart. The man who knew God in relationship, not just about rules. And that thing there, then I will lengthen your days. Now that could be numerically. You could get a few more months or years, I don't know. But I like to think of it as well in terms of the reach and extent and influence of the days we have on earth. As we are people who learn to live out of the heart of God and express that around us, the reach and the influence of our days lengthens into the lives of people around us and in our community. Isn't that a great thought and a great way of looking at discipleship? This is going to cause my extent and influence in this world as a child of God to unfurl and unfold. The second place the word lengthen appears is here in Isaiah 54. And again, I just found this really interesting. It says, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Now, I don't expect you to repeat it word for word, but I did talk about tents when we were doing Acts. I don't know if you remember. And I talked about how in the Old Testament, the tent of meeting in the wilderness, the tent that God set up where his presence was where people met him. And how that became the more permanent temple in Jerusalem, where God's glory and presence dwelt and where people went to meet him. But now how, after the death of Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives within us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the tent he lives in. Are we going to allow him to lengthen our cords, to strengthen our stakes, to expand us, to contain more of the fullness of who he is and live that out to people around us? So I found those two really interesting in the light of what the Holy Spirit had begun to be talking to me about. And then I discovered the traditional church Lent readings follow the story of the Exodus. So the children of Israel in slavery in Egypt, being set free from slavery, traveling through the wilderness. Their leadership was Moses, and they wandered until they found the promised land. And those are the readings that traditional church will be following in the next 6 weeks. I'm not sure it's quite like that, but I love this story. It's one of my favourite parts of the Bible. I love the whole thing of Moses and the people of God and the symbolism, and I love the fact it's such an amazing precursor to what is the reality that we live in, as God has set us free as people to live as his children. But these slaves, they set out from Egypt. They were free, but they still had a slave mentality. They were free, but they were not free. They were rebellious towards God and Moses. They were mistrustful of God. They groaned and they moaned and they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness while all of that was worked through. Now, I have a visual aid for you this morning. Could I have my slave, please? I've been dying to say that all morning. He's a very willing slave. Could you just stand there, Mr. Slave? Thank you very much. Right, bear with me a moment. Okay. So, here were the slaves, the children of God, in Egypt, in slavery, and God came and he set them free. He set them free from Egypt. We know the story of the Passover, where the angel of death came and he passed over the children of Israel's houses. And as a result of that entire story, God set them free. However, they still had a slave mentality. Even though they were free, they were free. And the 40 years wandering in the wilderness, they learnt certain things. Just lift your head. God taught them who they were. He gave them identity, to lift their heads, to know they were the children of God, the people of God, with value, with no shame. He taught them to see his nature, his truth, his goodness, the promises that he had for them. He taught them how to receive his goodness, his love, his provision, his protection. He taught them how to give. Yeah? They were slaves. They grasped everything that was theirs. He taught them how to give, how to be people who lived generously. I know you can move around. Walk around. And then he taught them how to walk in his ways. He taught them how to follow him. He taught them how to stay close to him. That was the journey. Just stay there. That was the journey that he took them on. He taught them how to live in a completely different way, totally in response to the Lord their God, with his provision, his care, his guidance, his voice. And the generation that grew up in the wilderness in those 40 years knew nothing other than that. they didn't know slavery. They just knew a life where they lived free in response to God living amongst them. And that, I said, was a picture of what Jesus has done for us. Okay, those people. And what Jesus has actually done for us is Jesus has gone, you're free. You're free. And he doesn't want us to live like that. He wants us to live like that. A round of applause for... The man deserves an Oscar. Fantastic, Mr. Slave. You can be my visual aid again. That was awesome. That's our journey, people. It's one of transformation. As we are rescued by Jesus when we give our lives to him and make him Lord of our lives. From the slavery of the world that we're in, its thinking, its systems, its values, its beliefs, its patterns of behaviour that trap us in this slave way to living in the constant awareness of the love and care of our Father God and the values and the ways that he walks in. So, it's about transformation. So I went to my Bible, and this is one of the famous verses about transformation. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Don't be conformed to the world's belief systems, value systems, way it tells you who you are, what it tells you how you should live, how you should save, how you should keep for yourself. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We get transformed by the renewing of our minds, allowing the Holy Spirit to change the way we think, the attitudes we hold, the values that we have as the people of God. And as we go through our Lent series over the next 6 weeks, I just want to challenge you to be really open to God, changing things in you, challenging old ways of thinking, ways that we're conformed to the pattern of this world without even realizing it, and allow him to transform us in our thinking. I want to look at that word transform quickly. Transformed, if you look it up in your books, it's from a Greek word, metamorpho, which actually means to change into another form, to transfigure, like Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. God wants to transform you and me to be like Jesus, shining with the goodness and the love and the presence of God in our communities, to change us into another form. And that word metamorpho, it's like metamorphosis, isn't it? The word we have, which is what a butterfly does. And a butterfly, when it goes in its chrysalis, it goes in as a caterpillar. It doesn't just grow wings and come out again. In that chrysalis, that caterpillar goes into a goo and reforms into a new creature and comes out as a butterfly. So I want you to encourage you to see this time of Lent as a time of transformation for you. Every single one of us, you know, is a butterfly in the hands of our Father God. And what he wants to do with us is set us free to fly. He wants to set us free from the patterns of the world that hold us back, just like the Israelites were set free from the slavery of Egypt and everything that they lived in the wilderness. We were made to fly together and to be free to be all God called us to be. So guys like Sadie doing what she's doing, Jan doing the prophetic table, you in your communities with your friends, in your workplaces, being Jesus, that is us flying in God. So, over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at various themes. There's our butterfly. That's going to be the graphic that's going to run through the next 6 weeks to remind us about transformation. First of all, next week on the 24th, we've got Andrew Southwood coming, who's going to do part three of his Living Generously series. Our we enslaved to stuff? To the world's values about stuff? How can we change our thinking, renew our minds to become people who live generously in every way, fully trusting the provision of our Father God? For me, when I don't live generously in any way, what I'm actually saying is, I don't really trust you, God, to meet my needs. So this can be a time of transformation next week. Transformation into a new walk of trust and faith in our Father God. The week after, we have Andy Reid coming and speaking, living a kingdom lifestyle. Are we still living as slaves in Egypt, rather than living out of the freedom that Jesus has bought for us? Do we live out our potential? How can we truly live a kingdom lifestyle as the people of God? That week could bring transformation in the whole way we live, the whole way we relate to ourselves and our communities. The week after the 10th is a River Together. And then after that, on the 17th of March, I'm going to be speaking again on Food for Life, the Word of God. In the wilderness, God gave Moses the law for his people, which was his ways for living. It was their food for life. He said, man cannot live on bread alone, but needs every word that comes from the mouth of God. How seriously do we take that? How do we treat the word of God? How important is it? How can we digest it well and get everything from it? It's an essential part of our discipleship. It will transform us. It is living and active, and we'll renew our minds. So there's an opportunity for transformation in that week. And then finally, on the 24th of March, Vicky's coming to speak on our promised land, the journey of the Israelites through the wilderness into the promised land. What's our inheritance? What does it mean to be a child of God? What do we live in? What is real for us? What is the real reality that we can live in? That will transform how we live here and now, how we view our lives. So in conclusion, let's rediscover Lent this year. Let's give ourselves over the next 6 weeks to be discipled. By all means, give something up, chocolate or something. But only do that if that for you is a symbol of you wanting to connect with God, of you saying to God and to others, I am going to be intentional about being discipled by you over this 6 weeks, Lord. I'm going to sit under your agenda for transformation in my life over this next 6 weeks. The Lord loves us so much. He has so much for us. He doesn't want us to be little brown caterpillars on the ground. He wants us to fly in all the beauty of all he's created every single one of us to be. So, let's be intentional about wanting God to transform us in the weeks ahead. As we talk about living generously, kingdom living, the word of God, and our inheritance. What I'd like us to do just in response to that is just be really quiet and just sit quietly before God. Are you ready to let him be your good shepherd and gently lead you and guide you into fresh green pastures over this Lent period? He's a good shepherd. He wants to take us to good places. Are you prepared to say yes to him transforming you? To him doing a transforming work in your lives in the next few weeks? Are you ready for an adventure? For a journey with God? Father God, Lord, we just enjoy so much the fact that you care so much for us. That, Lord, all you have for us is good. That, Lord, you want to take us and transform us, not because you want us to be better, because we're not good enough, but because in being transformed, there is so much goodness, so much freedom, so much joy that you want to give us, that you want us to live in. And Father God, as your people here in Maidenhead this morning, we just want to say yes, God. We want to say yes to whatever you have for us in the next 6 weeks and beyond. Lord, we just want to say, be free to transform us and to challenge us, to talk to us, to guide us, to lead us, to love us, to love us, to love us. And we just say in response that we love you, Lord, and we trust you as our Heavenly Father. We trust you.